This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Mino Studio is a pre- and post-production facility for all of your audio needs. Mino Studio's founder is an accredited audio engineer with top 40 and indie album credits. With over 30 years of music industry experience, Mino Studio can take your podcast from idea to reality. Contact Mino Studio at MinoStudio777@gmail.com for more information. That's Mino Studio spelled M-E-N-O, MinoStudio777@gmail.com. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs. And welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. So today's topic is a big one. This is single family home investing versus multifamily home investing. Now, I'm going to be objective as I can be, but I am both an owner of single family investments as well as multifamily investments, and I will try to be as objective as possible. I am going to do a little presentation first on the pros and cons of each, and then at the end of this, I'm doing something kind of unique. I actually sat down and I used my 22-unit multifamily in Indianapolis, and I compared it to buying 22 single-family homes in Indianapolis. Actually found a home that sells for the exact amount of my price per unit. So that's going to be really interesting. So hang on as we are moving forward here. I will start off first with the pros, those favorable things about single-family investing. Number one, they are just cheaper to buy. You buy a single-family home as compared to buying a multifamily. Generally speaking, and more often than not, they're less expensive. So cost-wise, it's a more affordable entry into investing. It's also easier to finance a single-family home as opposed to a multifamily. It's also easier to buy. The process is simpler, although there are many similarities. There are just less steps, and it's something also people are more familiar with. It's also easier to sell a multifamily home. And again, it depends on markets and so forth, but generally, multifamily, you have a much broader market to sell a single family home to. They're easier to find. Why? Because there are more of them. So that is an obvious one. Some people say it gets rented faster. I don't know. Again, it depends on the market and the place and the demand. But some people will say that apartment units are rent quicker. So that's one of those questionable areas. Less turnover. A lot of cases when people are moving into their homes, they bring a lot of stuff with them. And because of that, they don't want to move around that often. It takes a lot to move in, whereas an apartment, you're moving less. And so people do have a tendency, especially there's that home almost like ownership type feeling that people have that rent homes that makes them want to be able to stay there longer. You get a better quality of tenant. That I don't necessarily agree with, but I do think that sometimes the people that rent the larger single family home, there's a family involved, and generally it would be people that that are concerned about the quality of life and so forth. They might be a little bit different type of tenant. The tenants don't argue with one another because there's only one tenant. Well, they might argue sometimes in a family they do, but it's usually not arguing with other tenants, and that is something that you do have in apartments. It's also easier for tenants to pay all expenses associated with the property, excluding maybe the homeowner's insurance and property taxes. But, all of the utilities, they will cover lawn maintenance, snow removal. You don't have to pay a garbage service fee. In many cases, they'll take care of a pool, but I think more landlords would prefer having a pool service. So that's an advantage. Sometimes they say they net more, and I don't know. That's one I think is debatable, whether or not your cash flow net would be higher. But for some people, that's the case. It's great for a slow growth plan where you are, for example, you want to buy a home a year or two homes a year. You know, some people that are working a full-time job, that's real feasible to do. And you could set aside, $1,000 a month, and every 6 months you put $6,000 into buying a single-family home. It's a good for a long-term strategy. And you generally don't need other investors. If you are working, and you can usually afford to just buy those homes on your own. Okay, some of the drawbacks of single family, some of the cons here. They do not cash flow as well as multifamily. You generate a lot more cash, and it seems to be a lot faster. It is riskier in terms of you lose a tenant, you have 100% vacancy, whereas an apartment, you lose a couple of tenants and it's a smaller percentage of vacancy. And when you have 100% vacancy, you're the one, the landlord's the one paying mortgage, utilities, etc. Also, there are less tenant prospects. I don't know if I agree with this one. I think there are a fair number that'll rent homes, but generally renting a home as opposed to an apartment, it's a little more expensive, so you may have less people that would have the funds to be able to rent an entire house. Maintenance can be higher. Usually it's because either when you have a multifamily, you either have a person that you use all the time that you've kind of negotiated your prices with, or for the example, if somebody comes over to change a lock, well, you're going to pay their hourly fee regardless, and they're going to come to the house and then leave, and you're going to pay that. But if you have a multifamily, they could come to that facility, and they could do a few different locks, or they could handle another plumbing project or whatever it is, all within that hour. So it ends up being more economic in terms of the economies of scale. Final con on single family, usually located toward in a close proximity to major things, walking distance to main roads, public transportation, retail shops, offices, things like that. Whereas multifamily apartments are usually built right in the middle of an area where there is a higher density of different services. It depends on these are sort of real generals. Okay, let's look at multifamily now. Okay, positive or pro multifamily items. You make more money quicker. And with that means when you buy an 8-unit, 10-unit, what have you, you are going to get a lot of cash right up front, as these, especially if it's fully occupied, right up front. This is something that makes it appealing, I think, for seniors, whereas somebody else might want to buy a house a year or two houses a year. It takes a long time to scale up to the cash flow that you really want, whereas with multifamily, it's much quicker. Tends to have a higher cash-on-cash return. Your returns are generally pretty high, and if you're buying smart on your apartments. Cash flows are better, many more units, slightly lower price per unit. There's other cash flow benefits there. Economies of scale, I kind of touched on that, but that's huge. Just look at this. It's easier to buy one 22-unit multifamily versus buying 22 single-family homes. Now, those of you that have bought a home, you know what it is to go through to find a home. negotiate the price, go through, you know, the closing process, get the mortgage established, all of those things. Doing that one time for a 22 unit, 22 times for single family homes. Also, you know, your expenses are less because you're, you know, you're doing landscaping for a 22 unit apartment, as opposed to landscaping, getting lawns cut, snow plowed, mechanical serviced, roof serviced, driveways maintained for 22 different properties. Definitely something on the economies of scale there. You're going to be paying a lot more. Less paper to keep track of. You know, you've got with a 22 unit, you've got one insurance policy, one property tax payment, as opposed to 22 insurance policies, 22 property tax payments. So the economies of scale is a huge advantage. There's a broader tenant pool to choose from with apartments. A lot of people that are in that income range and that have an interest in apartments. Also, you can, for example, in an apartment, you can rehab, repair one unit while the others are still generating cash for you. Whereas if you had to do major rehab in a home, you'd have to, you know, shut it down, which means no income coming in while you're doing your repairs. Generally, it's a higher per square foot rent amount. On a per unit basis, I would say it'd be less than single family. It's easier to sell one 22 unit, although it may take a longer period of time as opposed to maybe selling one house. It's easier to sell one 22 unit apartment than 22 single family homes, which is quite a process in selling and talking to people that are interested in buying and negotiating and all that. Less expensive to manage. Usually you have a one property manager for, let's say, again, I'm talking a small multi, a 22 unit. Also, you can hire a property manager to manage your single family homes, but you're going to pay them at least 10%. Whereas with the multifamily, it would be anywhere from 4 to 7% of your rents. So it is less expensive from that standpoint. I think it's an advantage that, you know, that you do have property managers for multifamily, because generally they're just better managers. A lot of people with single family homes want to do it themselves, and you can, but it does require a lot of time. Lending on multifamily does not rely on personal credit scores as much as a single family. Generally, they look at the property's income and profitability. So they look at it almost more as a business when banks or financial institutions are lending, which is an advantage. Property value of a multifamily is based on a combination of income, profitability, return on investment, and cap rates. Whereas single family, it's based on the market and local comps. And so that's where you go to the next point, which is you can get forced appreciation on a multifamily. In other words, you can control the value of that property. Whereas you buy a single family home, I mean, maybe you could fix it up and add a new kitchen or something and you can affect the price a little bit. But with the multifamily, you can increase the rent, which will increase the value of the property. You can reduce expenses, which will increase the value of the property. Rehab, rent increases, expense reductions combined with repositioning strategies, you can generate significant equity in your multifamily, whereas you really don't see the same with single family. It's less risky, as we mentioned, because when you have a few empty apartments, you still got money coming in to pay the mortgage and to pay utilities and so forth, whereas a single family, you don't have that. Less competition. When you're buying multifamily properties, there are less people buying them. So it's not so competitive as it may be buying a single family home where you have a lot of consumers. Depending on market, you know, what things are like in that market and so forth. There's more upside because you're acquiring more units quicker than you would with single family strategy. You can create so much more additional value by optimizing the performance of your property. The upside of apartment buildings can be significantly higher than single family. Some of the drawbacks now, the cons of multifamily. A multifamily often requires staff. So the larger it is, you're going to have to pay staff, you're going to have to do W-2s and health insurance and all these other things. Or you hire a property manager that does all that for you. There generally takes longer to sell. There's a limited buyer pool. Sometimes that can be a drawback. More tenant issues, as walls and common areas are shared. So you may have to deal with certain things that tenants want and so forth. Additional maintenance costs for common areas, pools to maintain. So there may be some costs there. Appreciation is tied more to rents than the market. So that can be an advantage or a disadvantage, depending. They generally appreciate slower, but like I mentioned, for those that are value add or repositioning, you can appreciate much faster if you follow that kind of an approach. Tenant placement tends to cost more. You're trying to market to those people looking for apartments. Tenant squabbles, I mentioned that in the other previously, that you do have tenants that sometimes don't like each other, and that can cause problems. Multifamily tenants do not generally stay as long as single family tenants. Financing is more complicated and sometimes can be more difficult to obtain. Rates for multifamily financing are generally higher than single family. So those are some of the pros and cons on both sides. Now, what I want to share with you here, which I think is something that definitely is very interesting, and is that let's look at the numbers, just the raw numbers. Now, this, I had to just kind of format this in such a way that there's a lot of assumptions and, trying to do this as best I can. But so what I did is I took my 22 unit in Indianapolis. I purchased that for $350,000. I did a 25% down payment, which was $87,500. The loan amount, $262,500. Okay, so those are some of the components here. So what I did is I looked at that and I said, well, how would I compare 22 units to 22 houses? And I go, well, it's not going to be really comparable because my cost per unit is $15,900. But I looked in Indianapolis. I said, well, let me see. Are there any homes selling for $15,900? And sure enough, I found a home. In fact, there are a number of homes in that price category, but one that was exactly $15,900. And that was a home located on North Hawthorne Lane in Indianapolis. It's a two-bedroom, one bath. So I said, well, okay, this is going to be really close comparison. So I had to make a couple of major assumptions to put this model together. And on the spreadsheet, what I did is I assumed 100% occupancy for both. So in other words, our tenants were there. We had no vacant properties whatsoever or vacant units. Well, that's not realistic, but again, it's trying to compare as much as I can apples to apples. Okay, so, and the other thing I assumed is that as far as expenses were concerned, I used what's called the 50% rule, which means 50% of your income goes to expenses. Now, this is a rule of thumb. Generally, I say most of my properties are below that, but it's a good rounding figure. Sometimes I'll have a property that's over that, but it's a good rule of thumb. So I factored all this together. I put down 22 houses at $15,900 each, okay? And then the down payment on those, like a $15,900 house, had a down payment of $3,975 with a loan amount of $11,925, okay? And then I figured, at current rates, that a loan payment would be $60.42. That's a pretty good loan payment, okay? But you also have property insurance. Okay, you have to have that to have the loan, homeowner's insurance, and that was roughly $50 a month. And then their property taxes. And on this particular property, I had to guesstimate the insurance, but the property tax I looked at as what the actual property tax was most recently paid on this property was, and that was $112 a month. So your payment that you'd give to the bank would be your $60.42 principal and interest payment plus your insurance of 50 plus your property tax gives you a total payment to the bank every month of $220.42. I looked at, well, how much could I rent this little two-bedroom place? And I did a search. Again, I used Rentometer, which is a pretty popular tool that we use to estimate rents. But really, you know, you'd have to really call around and look in a lot of different places, talk to brokers and agents and try to get an idea of. But according to Rentometer, a two-bedroom, one-bath house in this neighborhood should be able to rent for $575. I go, wow, that's pretty good. Okay. So I'm looking at, okay, a couple of things I've got. Okay, so I've got my $575 that is my rent payment. And then I have my $222, I'm just going to round it off to $222, payment to the bank. And then I have other expenses, okay, that I'm going to have to incur that are 50% of that gross rent amount, $575, which is $287.50 or $288 if we rounded it off. So after I take out my mortgage payment and my expenses, I have a cash flow of $65.08. So let's just say $65. Okay. So now I take the spreadsheet and I do this for 22 properties. Okay. And I get totals. Okay. So here I got my 22 properties and I've got my apartment. In my apartment, I know the numbers really well because that's a reality for me. The $15,900 house is not my reality, but for this example, that house does exist and this could be a reality if somebody wanted to do it this way. Okay. Our property is pretty much the same. I'm paying $350,000, 22 properties at $15,900 is $349.08. Okay, it's $800. Okay, so it's pretty close to $350. Okay, down payment, pretty much the same. Loan amount, the same, because we're both doing 25%. Now it starts to change. Okay, the next thing is the loan payment. Now, my loan payment for 22 houses, just the loan payment itself, okay, is $1,329.24. So that is 22 loan payments on 22 houses, okay? Now, on my apartment, my interest rate is considerably higher. And so I'm paying $1,721.41. Okay. Again, this is just principal and interest. Okay. So let's add on the other things that we have to pay. First thing is the insurance. The insurance payment each month for 22 houses would be $1,100. Okay. $50 each times the 22. My insurance for my apartment is $386. So that's quite a savings, almost a third of what they're paying on the insurance. So there look like there's a real savings on the insurance side. Same thing with property tax. Okay, so I have, as I had mentioned, that the property tax payment would be $112. For 22 properties, that's $2,464, whereas my property tax payment for my 22-unit apartment is $700. Okay, so now we're seeing some big differences here. So my insurance is about a third, and my property tax is also about a third. So that's a pretty significant difference. So you put that together, and the payments that we're sending to the bank is for the 22 units, I'd be sending $4,893 to the bank. And my reality is I'm sending $2,889 for my 22 units. So that seems to be the big area of savings right there between the two. Okay, so let's look at the expenses. Expenses are slightly higher. For, as I mentioned, the 50% rule, for the 22 houses, I'd be paying $6,325 in expenses a month at 50%, and the apartment, $5,200. And that is actually less, but again, I'm using the same rule to apply to both situations. But I'm still paying less than you would pay for the apartment. So the gross rent, okay, for 22 apartments at $575 a month is $12,650 a month. And that's a nice little chunk of change there for a monthly gross income. Whereas my rents would be $10,400, which is about $2,000 less. But the difference is, again, because of those other costs, okay, the net cash flow number for the 22 houses after the expenses. So you got the $12,650, you need to remove the expenses of $6,003, and you need to remove the mortgage payments, okay? And so you end up with $1,432, okay? And then the cash flow on the apartment after those expenses is $2,311. So what you have there is about $1,000 more in cash flow with the 22 unit apartment. So, okay, all this to say is that, okay, dollars and cents wise, it look dollar for dollar here, it looks like it would be more advantageous to purchase the apartment, but there are a lot of other factors that go into play here. And a lot of it depends on your own personal decisions and what you want to do. I think first off, no matter which option you take, you cannot go wrong. Real estate is a great investment vehicle, no matter what, to build wealth and passive income. It just really depends on your personal preferences. It's not always a financial decision, even though I showed you financially, it looks like there's an advantage. Again, I'm using just some real hard numbers that, you know, you could change and it could alter quite a bit depending on areas and markets and so forth. But it depends really on the person and the person's goals. You may have one person, for example, who wants to put $1,000 away each month. And every 6 months, they might want to buy that property for $6,000 down. And so, you know, they'll buy two houses a year. And then over a 10 to 20 year period, they'll have, you know, quite a number of houses that they'll have. Another may be interested in immediate high cash flow where they want to get that big apartment and they want to get it now and they want to, you know, have that $10,000 income or more, right then and there. So, that's it for today. It sounds like the lawnmower is coming in here on the outside of my studio, so I gotta say goodbye anyway. But please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, including the links, can be accessed in our show notes on olddogsreinetwork.com. Just look for episode 030. So I hope that was helpful to you, and I hope that it'll help you in your decisions regarding your real estate investments. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.